Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Well, it's been a very interesting day today. I'm recording this on Friday, the 8th of May. We finally have a confirmation on the Oasis documentary. It is coming out on September the 11th, later this year. So yeah, very exciting. So I just really wanted to jump on and get this sorted. And I'm having to sort of piece together because there's always a problem when you do a few different recordings. Because what we've got is today I was recording with Laurie Wright, and the news literally broke as I was recording with Laurie. So I thought, well, look, let's just quickly discuss it. And then also there's some other bits of news as well around Liam coming out of Abbey Road Studios. So Laurie and I discuss that. So I'm going to drop the stuff just around that discussion in here, because a lot of the rest of the discussion that I had with Laurie was around his career and stuff. But also we did an A to Z discussion of I Hope I Think I Know. But I Hope I Think I Know isn't the next one in the list. The next one in the list is I Can See a Liar, which I discussed with our good friend John Kay in the car the other day when we were heading up to Manchester for the Oasis Supernova gig. So what I'm going to do here is we're going to drop in the bit of my chat with Laurie relating to the news that's come out today in the last couple of days. And then I'll jump back in, and then we're going to cross over to my chat with John Kay, where we talk about I Can See a Liar. And then we're going to go back to Laurie. Plus also, I've also recorded with the Secret Drug Addict, which was a really, really great chat. And I can't wait for you guys to hear that as well. So loads of good stuff coming up on the Oasis Podcast. Make sure you stay subscribed because it's all great stuff all the time. And hopefully big, interesting announcement to make very shortly. And also, Oasis stuff is happening again, finally. All right, so let's cross over now to my conversation with the singer-songwriter and all-round top guy, Laurie Wright.
One, two!
Oh, by the way, breaking news has just literally pinged up. I'm like, why am I getting a notification from Disney? The Great Wait is over. An epic new documentary film from BAFTA and Oscar-nominated producer, writer and director Stephen Knight, directed by Dylan Southern and Will Lovelace, will tell the story of the Oasis reunion the world was waiting for.
Wow.
Featuring unprecedented onstage and backstage footage from the Gallagher Brothers' sellout global stadium tour, coming to IMAX and cinemas worldwide on September 11th and streaming globally later this year on Disney+.
Wow, amazing.
There you go. We were waiting for that. We've been waiting and waiting. It's like, is this happening or not? You know what I mean? It is happening. Awesome.
God, the editing process must have been a nightmare. Just everything would have been a fucking viral moment. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Well, I actually chatted to Dylan Southern. He was actually at like a Comic Con. I was at a Comic Con with my kids, and he was there. He sort of co-produced this sort of comic book, and yeah. And I was like, Dylan Southern, like the film director, like you're doing the Oasis thing. He's like, yeah. And so I was chatting to him. I was like, can I interview you? He's like, no. I'm not allowed to talk about it. Like, so I did get like a load of info, but you know, I'm just like, you know, you don't want to. Obviously, you had to sort of keep it shtum. But yeah, I
No.
mean, by the sounds of it, like he was like they set up, you know, like nature documentaries when they like set up cameras like in, you know, in the wild, so to capture the animals because they're, you know, if they see there's cameramen, they'll run away. That's
Yeah.
basically what they had to do in the rehearsal room. Because they were saying that like Liam would just refuse to go perform if there was a camera there, so they had to like hide cameras like just so they
Oh
would get Liam. But
wow, that's so interesting.
yeah, but all
I
the
can't
rehearsal
wait
stuff,
for that.
and it's going to
I
be
can't wait
awesome.
for that. I wonder, like, I couldn't work out other than trying to keep it together, like, why they did no press. I know they didn't need to, but I
Yeah.
thought they might want to. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, oh, a big press conference, here we are, we're back. Like,
No,
but there was none of that.
nothing. It was, but you know what? It probably did more because people were more excited just because they weren't doing any press
Maybe,
than, you know what I mean, than if they had been.
like the only place you're going to see them together is on that stage, so you better buy a fucking ticket.
You better
Like,
go. Yeah, exactly. All right, and just James jumping in here. The only other sort of bit of news on the back of that, I suppose, is that good old Liam's Twitter. That's how we sort of follow what's going on. We try and decipher his bizarre messages, or we, you know, glean what we could from it. And yeah, and one of the sort of the people that he tends to reply to a lot on Twitter is this girl Icy. And yeah, for some reason he replies to her quite regularly. But yeah, and she said something like, it would be great if at the end of the documentary it then announced the tour dates for next year. And Liam replied something like, oh, that would be a good idea. And you think, okay, all right, so that's what's happening. So it sounds to me, because they'd said all along, you know, we're taking a break after the World Cup, then we're gonna sort of crack back on with it. So, you know, so it feels like, okay, we're gonna have this in September. And then after that, they announce the tour dates for next year for 2027. And then we take it from there. But anyway, right, let's go back to my chat with Laurie, where we talk about, yeah, the movements at Abbey Road Studios this week. And then the other thing as well is that yeah, so did you see that they were pictured coming out of Abbey Road?
I
So
thought I just saw Liam and John Squire, but is that I thought that was something to do with the Manny Memorial gig, maybe, but
no, I don't know. I think it's basically because people were saying like, oh no, because the Paul McCartney listening party was on the same day.
oh right, well, it could be that.
But then people saying, oh no, because it was different times and things like that. So to me, and also looking at Liam's Twitter, he's basically, it's all, you know, he's saying to, like today he said, I am the psychedelic kingpin. And if people have asked him, is it a new Liam Gallagher John Squire album? He's saying, I can't say for security reasons and stuff like this. So to me, I think it is. Because if you think, if Oasis have definitely said, okay, we're definitely not doing anything this year, we'll come back next summer, like we'll come back summer 27, which it feels like, you know, that's the way that the vibes are going. Well, then we've got a gap, right? And Liam doesn't like sitting around doing nothing. So it's like, right, fuck this. Let's get another John Squire album done, maybe tour it in the winter, and then we'll be ready for Oasis in the summer. So yeah, if you think that the first one he did, he knocked out, they pretty much did that. They knocked it out, like, you know, knocked it out, single, album, tour, done. So they can do it in like a 6 month window. You know what I mean? That's fine.
Yeah, it's possible. That is, it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was like, when I think it was before, before Oasis got back together, and I've never spoken to anyone who really about this, but that, remember, Noel was saying, I've got an acoustic record, and then I've got written, and I'm going to do that, and then I've got a stadium rock record after that. And then he sacked off the, my ears really pricked up, as any Oasis fan would have done, I think, because they would have said, well, you don't make stadium rock.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Unless it's in the ballpark of Oasis. So he sacks off the acoustic record. Oasis get back together. Meanwhile, I've always got it in my head that he's got a stadium rock album written that he's doing nothing with.
Yeah.
Until maybe the time's right, until they feel it out, maybe. And, you know, maybe he was going to see how the tour goes and sees if he really gets along with Liam.
Mm.
And then obviously with the success of that, could they make another record? I wouldn't put it past them. Mm. I know it's like they've said they're not going to and all that, but they said they weren't going to reform. They said they weren't going to, do you know what I mean? People change their mind all the time.
Mm.
I believe that Oasis may make another record. I don't know when, and I don't know how. And I think Noel's so savvy that I think he wouldn't. It wouldn't be shit. Mm. I think he wouldn't bother unless it was going to rival their earlier records. Mm. But what do you think about that? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, and we talked about it on the pod, like. What's he saying? Like there is this stadium record. And then he said, and when he tried to do the acoustic record, and he said to Matt Morgan, that was it. You'd only ever get updates from Noel if he spoke on Matt Morgan podcast. And he would just be like, no, I tried and I just binned it off. It's like, what's the point of doing this, you know, record, like acoustic record? By the time you start fiddling with it and adding things to it, then it's becoming a full record, you know? So they binned it off. But yeah, I mean, look, there's been rumors like Noel was outside Lone Star Studios and things. So, you know, and he said on Talksport, now we only get like snippets on Talksport. You know, it used to be Matt Morgan, now it's Talksport. You'd get like, he's talking about Man City for 20 minutes and then it's like, oh, any Oasis news? And you get these little tiny little snippets. But yeah, I mean, he did say like, well, back to work, or like, you know, oh, I'm just doing some bits in the studio. So it's like, well, what's he doing? Is he like, is it like Oasis old stuff he's messing around with? Or is it like... you know, or is it actually, because really he could just go into Lone Star, just record a bunch of the music himself, and then just get Liam in one afternoon to knock out all the vocals.
Exactly.
And then, you know what I mean, they don't need to carve out 6 months of like like the Stone Roses at bloody Rockfield. Yeah. You know what I mean, like they're there for years, you know artistically, you know, doing this thing. It's like, no, they just, Noel will write and record everything and then Liam can just come in and sing it and we're good to go.
And Oasis were always so famously fast working, you know,
yeah.
Like all done within a couple of weeks, usually for a record. And, what was I going to say? Fucking escaped me now.
You can't even blame the drink and drugs, mate.
No, mate. I'm drunk on the riveting conversation.
On the excitement of Oasis. But I mean, what do you think? Did you hear the... Because going back to the Liam Gallagher, John Squire, like, because I sort of clocked it. I mean, another thing Liam said on Twitter that sort of convinced me was he said something like, it might not... You know, people are like, what are you recording? And he said, it might not be what people want, but it's what they'll need or something. And it's like, okay, that to me tells me it's John Squire, because... Yeah. It was probably the least, well, I know some people love it, but it was probably like the least well-received thing that either of them done, probably since BDI. And so it's like, okay, so people aren't necessarily desperate for it. I mean, I like the record. It's not one I pull and grab and stick on, but I think, like, you know, there's some really good stuff on there that I really like I'm a Wheel and Mars to Liverpool and just...
Mars to Liverpool's a tune.
Yeah, but what did you think of it? And you up for another LGJS album?
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, like I love them. I'm not excited by it. I thought that it was plastered with way too much unnecessary auto tune. I know that they always have auto tuned Liam's vocal, but it just seemed like, I don't know who was in charge of the mixing process, but it was like robotic. it was like there was none of Liam's like nuance in there, and I found that pretty hard to deal with. And I thought the songwriting was quite good. I think Mars to Liverpool was my favourite.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I would like, yeah, I'm glad they're working together, and that's a big sort of childhood dream of mine. If you told me that Liam Gallagher and John Squire would have been making a record together when I was a kid, I'd be like, what? Yeah. So, yeah, amazing. But, like, I don't know. We'll see.
Like, yeah, given the choice, it's like, you know, well, my problem with it, I thought, was that it wasn't like enough John Squire. Like, you know, it's sort of like you want him to be just over the top and like 7 minute solos and just going for it, like second coming John Squire. I mean, I know everyone always prefers the first Roses album. I love Second Coming, you know, all those riffs and everything, it's so bluesy and cool. And I was thinking, oh wow, if this is like a proper like psychedelic blues album, like with John just going for it and then Liam singing, it could have been amazing. But it was like, there's a couple of tunes where he would start off on an awesome solo, and then it would just like fade out at the end of the song. You're like, "What are you doing? Like, you know, just give us a solo." You know,
could have gone down the Seahorses route, you know, where like it's. I think the Seahorses is a perfect example of the blend of those two worlds. Like, you've got the front man, the amazing voice, and songwriting, and then John Squire fucking going for it
over the top of that. Whereas John himself writing the songs, it's like, yeah, maybe bringing other people and then John to do the color. But
it could have been a production thing that whoever they got to produce it, which, you know, is probably the same person responsible for this horrendous amount of auto tune and compression and what have you, but it's probably it could be that person is going, right, you know, this isn't the 90s anymore. Turn the fucking guitars down. We're going to make, do you know what I mean? Going to make a modern record. And then, of course, it suffers as a result of that because you've kind of castrated John Squire.
Yeah, yeah. You're taking away what he does the best. But
yeah. But I don't know. He might have produced it himself. And now I'm just fucking chatting shit.
well, that's normal standard for the Oasis podcast anyway. So that's all good.
All right, so James again here. Nothing more extra to add about the that chat, really. To me it feels like it will be the Liam Gallagher John Squire, just the way that he's been tweeting and the fact that Liam and John Squire were seen coming out. The other thing, Andy Bell was apparently seen coming out as well, which is interesting. So I don't know if he is involved in that album at all. I don't know, which would be, and we know he absolutely loves Stone Roses. So that would be cool, I suppose. But don't know. But so we will wait to see what happens there. I think that's definitely, it feels to me like that's what it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be Oasis. I mean, it might have been some sort of listening party, but the fact that Liam's been tweeting that, he was saying like, I'm a singer, I sing songs. He's been coming out with lots of random stuff, which he does when there's stuff happening. You know, he sort of gives it away. He can't help it. I suppose he's so buzzing that he's been, you know, creating stuff that he has to sort of let these things slide on Twitter. So it feels like it's happening. All right, so look, there we go. So that was Laurie. Now, Laurie's a great singer-songwriter. Definitely check him out. Links in the description of the episode. But yeah, come back next time because we'll have Laurie back again, where we go into a load more detail about his career, his thoughts on Oasis, the A to Z of I Hope I Think I Know, and also some more, yeah, very interesting stuff. All right, but now let's go back in time a week or so to my trip up to Manchester when I was chatting to John Kay, and we're going to go Oasis A to Z about I Can See a Liar. Well, look, one of the other things I was going to talk to you about, because I've got you shut in a car and so you can't run away and refuse, is the next up on the Oasis A to Z is I Can See a Liar.
Everyone's favourite track.
everyone's favourite track. In a lot of people's bottom 10 Oasis, I think. Which actually, I don't know about you, but I think if there wasn't the fact that the chorus went, I can see a liar sitting by the fire, you know, liar, liar, pants on fire. Like, if it wasn't for that, I think you probably, the song would be boosted about like 40%.
I would agree. And I do think I Can See a Liar, it's sort of a 1-2 punch on that album with Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, isn't it? They're both similar types of songs. And I guess, for me, though, a throwaway Oasis track is probably stronger than a lot of other music. But yeah, in the context of the canon of Oasis-recorded music, it arguably is not in the top, yeah, in the top 50%, is it, of what they put out. But it's not a bad tune.
No, well, and actually, we've just chucked it on and chucked on the demo as well. And, yeah, and like, you can't help it. It's like you're singing along, like you're getting into it. And it's there's enough little bits and pieces. You know, we were just like you know, and there's enough little fiddly bits that you just like, oh, that's a really cool little section, you know?
What? I'll tell you what I remember, James, right? If we sort of zoom out a little bit and you think of Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, so context of that album, I remember after Be Here Now, Noel gave a couple of interviews and he was working with the Chemical Brothers and he was like, the next album is going to be really different, really, really dancey. And as a fan, I was a bit like, what are we going to get? But actually then, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, all right, he had some drum loops in, but start to finish, it's a rock and roll album. Yeah. It's darker than what they put out before. So context of that album, for me as a fan, there was some relief that it wasn't so out there and different. Okay. And I remember buying the album from HMV, I was at university, and I listened to it all the way through, and I was like, do you know what? It's not half bad. You've got Gas Panic, you've got Go Let It Out. I Can See a Liar, I didn't strongly dislike, you know, in the context of that album. It's better than Little James as well.
Yeah, no, look, I was in a similar thing. I remember going to HMV to buy it, and like it was being played, and I was at uni in Leicester at the time, and it was being played like in HMV, and I think it was Little James actually, it was being played in HMV. I remember hearing that over the big speakers and thinking like, what the hell is that? but it was just the sound was different as well, wasn't it? You know, we'd had Go Let It Out as the little precursor. We'd had the B-sides to be like, okay, let's all make believe, and like, okay, well, what is this going to sound like? You know, there's keyboards, there's a different sound going on here. But yeah, and then I Can See a Liar. Yeah, it's just like, it's a real stripped down, you know, they talked about it as being like a punky sort of one. Funnily enough, you say about the interviews and stuff leading up to it. I remember Noel, I think it was The Enemy before it came out, and on the front cover it says, Noel on new album, 8 out of 10. And he'd said like, yeah, there's 10 songs, Liam's written one, which is great, I've written 9, 2 of them are shit. And like, and he meant I Could See a Liar and Money Where Your Mouth Is. And it was like, I just thought like, well, if this shit, why are you putting it on the album?
Well, why are you not releasing Let's All Make Believe?
Exactly. why is that made the album?
You know what? We're sat here, it's 2026. You listen to it and you get, actually, some quite interesting production choices on I Can See a Liar. It feels more in your face. It feels like Liam's vocals are a bit chainsaw-y. And what I mean by that is they are distorted and they're high in the mix. But bass line's cool. There's some really good drum fills. It's a good track. Into my brain.
yeah, it's got like nice little bits of guitar solo. The way it then comes back to that "Baby, You're a Liar," you know, and then it's just a, yeah, it's a really powerful one, and actually one that you know, funnily enough, like I'd say the peak version of it isn't necessarily the recorded one. So if we go into the other ones, you know, you've got the Noel demo. Yeah. You know, which was great, you know, and actually when you listen to them back to back, you're like, well, I think that in many ways the production on the Noel demo, maybe it's less sort of quirky production, but actually it's probably a more like rounded sound than the album version.
I mean, those Noel demos, I remember at the time, that was really exciting, wasn't it, right? Because yeah. You got virtually the whole album sung by Noel, some nuances, some things were different. You got Noel singing "I Can See a Liar." You had some B-sides that weren't, sorry, some tracks, demos that weren't released, "Carry Us All," "Let There Be Love," which was "It's a Crime," wasn't it? Yeah. And then you had "Revolution Song."
Yeah.
And "I Can See a Liar," not Noel's vocals decent on that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... thinking about Liam's vocal though on the final recorded version, what we've just said about it's distorted, it's high up in the mix, if you go forward one album to Heathen Chemistry and Hindu Times, that is the lead single. I remember hearing that for the first time and thinking, that's a fake, that's not Liam, because it was to my ears at that time, it sounded like 25% more Liam, almost a pastiche, because the vocal was distorted and growly. And actually, I would argue that "I Can See a Liar" and the way that vocal's captured is almost signposting that sort of vocal that then he displayed in the Hindu Times. You know, it's a proper sort of...
Yeah. He's really going for it, isn't he? He's not the growl is in full force at this point. And then it's before he moves into like the Kermit phase, as they say. So I think it's like it's a good point where he's really going for it, but it's still a pleasant listening experience, which it wasn't always.
So the versions, final recorded version, the Noel demo version, and then live, you were saying, you played it?
David Letterman.
That's it. That's it, on the Letterman show.
Yeah, so I personally, I think my favourite version of it is the David Letterman show. So you've got, I think it's just, because obviously you've stripped away kind of the production of that sort of slightly weird, like going for that sort of weirder vibe that they had on Standing on the Shoulder. It's just like full on, like, you know, the five of them rocking. Obviously, it's Oasis Mark II. You've got Andy and Gem in there. And they just rock it. I think it sounds great.
On the shoulder of giants, here they are, Oasis.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's interesting, isn't it, right? So to pick that track for the Letterman show for your American audience and for a big, big, big section of people are going to be exposed. But then for Noel to say there's two tracks I'm not keen on 8 out of 10. If you think back to that tour, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants tour, I saw them both nights at the Bolton Reebok. And there were some odd set choice decisions that were made. They played Shaker Maker, I think, second track. After Go Let It Out. And if they were confident enough to play that on Letterman to the entire American people, I wonder why they didn't throw it into the set list.
It's strange, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, let's have a quick look at Setlist FM, which is obviously our great option to go with. Yeah, so they played it, they basically played it like 8 times. So they played it in February 2000, they played it in Paris, a couple of times in Japan, then in Bataclan, Paris again, Belgium again, and then, so that was from February to March, and then Late Show with Letterman in May, and that's it. And how bizarre.
You wonder, don't you, with latter solo career Liam Gallagher and the excellent Nebworth show, right? Someone whispered in his ear, the fans would love it if you pulled something out of the bag, and he played Roll It Over. I would argue probably an easier track for him to do. Could have been I Could See a Liar, right? Because it's still a nod to that era. Yeah. It's a nod to the fans who would appreciate it. And probably more, again, in tune to how he likes to push his vocal, even as a latter-day solo performer. Yeah. I mean, Roll It Over went over brilliantly at that Nebworth gig. It was an amazing moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those as well, because it's such a banger. You know, that's the thing. You know, with a gig, that it's always that mix, isn't it, of like, you know, you've got these anthems, but you can't just fill a set with anthems, because you've got to have some, ultimately they're a rock and roll band, so you've got to have some bangers, you've got to have some just things to like bounce around to, and I Can See a Liar is perfect for that.
And you know, a slight segue but a relevant one is what I realised as a big fan when I saw the Definitely Maybe tour that Liam did whenever it was last year. You know, there was a lot of deep cuts there. Now as a big fan, in an ideal world you dream about, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if it was just all super deep cuts. But I have to say, I was ecstatic when he played Lock All the Doors, but no one around me was, the vibe dipped. So the point I'm making is that you got to have the bangers, throw in the odd bone to the super fans is important, but you do it too much, it changes the flow of the show and the energy, etc. Yeah. So I can acknowledge that. And you know, in that context, maybe Roll It Over was the right choice over I Can See a Light. But you know, the more we talk about it, right, the more, you know, I realise actually I'm not, you know, it's not a song I dislike. Imagine the song was exactly the same, but they didn't have Liar and Fire. Would it be? Is it the lost masterpiece? but for that one change.
Well, it's not a lost masterpiece, but I think, you know, talking about the lyrics, so yeah, I think that is obviously the clunker that just stands out, right? Because it is a nursery rhyme, stupid thing.
It's up there with trampoline and plasticine, isn't it?
It is. But yeah, so look, I mean, I was just wondering, because this is one that's never really been talked about a lot. I think, as I say, Noel sort of picked it as one of the two that were not good songs on the album. I think it's been said that the only reason it was chosen to be on the album is that Liam really liked it.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, like, Liam posted on Twitter recently, like, a video of it being played. So you know, so that tells you that he loves it. And you can imagine he did love it. You know, it probably scratches that itch.
Did he say it was his John Lydon attempt, the sort of Pistols vocal, or was that Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is?
I don't know.
That's probably why.
What he's doing, isn't it? But yeah, let's look at lyrics. So, baby, the time is right to tell it all like it is. And now that I feel godlike, there's nothing that can't be kissed. The name of a lonely soul is scratched into my brain. He thought he was King Creole until he found out. That's a fun little mention of King Creole there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just arguably not mentioned often enough in the canon of modern recorded music, James, right?
Very bizarre. He sits upon a throne. He lives a sleazy lie, but he's all alone again. I can see a liar sitting by the fire, trouble in his heart, laughing at the thought, coming as he goes into overdose. I wonder what he thinks of me. Like, and then he just it's a classic Oasis where they just repeat it again.
And we don't know if it's about someone, and you said earlier who it's about, what it's about, but it's interesting, isn't it, where he goes coming as he goes into overdose.
Yeah.
On the same album you've got Noel's sort of ode to Why Drugs Are Bad, Gas Panic. Maybe it's about that version of himself that is fake because he's pumped full of drugs at Supernova Heights, talking cod shit to people who aren't his friends. And so maybe the background of the song is he's talking about a version or characteristics he associates with the version of himself at that point.
Could be.
He'd left behind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then you've got, you know, I suppose obviously at the time he was mixing with loads of, like, just dickheads, wasn't he? You know, and so, like, maybe it's just... You know, who knows, it could be one of the people he was mixing with at the time, he's just sort of, or an amalgamation. But yeah, if you think that the other songs on the album are all talking about, you know, that, like, coming off drugs and changing his life and trying to turn that around, and now we get this, like, vitriol against someone, whether it be himself. That's a really interesting thought, actually. Yeah. He's writing it about himself, that he doesn't want to be that version of himself anymore.
Heard it here first for this theory. This, you know what we've just done? We've gifted James Hargreaves a 2-hour YouTube exclusive on that very topic.
Yeah. He's going to deep dive that. He's going to research the arse out of that, absolutely.
Big up Mr. Hargreaves.
Big up Hargreaves, yeah, well, look. Right, so I Can See a Light. So what else do we know about it? So it was on the album. It's a ninth, so it's the last but one track. So if you think where you go on, like, the second half, effectively, you've got, like, Gas Panic, Where Did It All Go Wrong, Sunday Morning Call, I Can See a Liar, and then Roll It Over. So it's, it's a good little one, you know, like, you have Morning Glory at the, you know, the last but one track, effectively, on the end of What's Story of Morning Glory, and then you go into Champagne Supernova. So it's sort of, I think it's doing that, or, like, same as... It's Getting Better Man and then into All Around the World. So
yeah, it's teeing up, isn't it?
So you have one banger before you then go into the big epic closer, I suppose. But yeah, do you think that's a good place for it to be?
Well, I mean, yes. And it reminds me of a funny quote where Noel previously has dismissed the science of sequencing of album tracks, hasn't he? But I actually think it's really important getting that order and that flow right. And I think even, you know, the act of turning the record over and a pause in proceedings and how that used to historically be sawed through. You see, I'm going to get on a soapbox now.
Right? Go for it.
Imagine how insulting it would have been to Picasso or a famous artist, Banksy. Hey, I really love the top left picture of your picture. Can I just buy that? And what is wrong with the world of streaming and iTunes is that you can just... buy that section of the picture, which is the whole album. So I like the fact when we were kids back in the day, you had to invest in the whole album. That's a very long way of saying I think the sequencing is probably right in the context of the songs that sit either side of it and where it sits on the album. It tees up the money shot, as it were.
So you've got Where Did It All Go Wrong and Sunday Morning Call, which is like, okay, the more chilled down Noel sung little section, and then we go into I Can See a Liar, which is like Liam's back and it's a banger, and then we have Roll It Over, the big epic closer. So yeah, I mean, do you think if you were resequencing Standing on the Shoulder, would you keep it in there, or would you have maybe swapped it out and put it as a B-side?
Good question. I think you've got to look at what was omitted and what you got to play with in the box of chocolates. And I know I made a joke, but like, let's all make believe for me that absolutely 100% should have been on the album, at the expense of Little James, at the expense... I'd probably, to answer your question, take off Little James or even Sunday Morning Call before I took off I Can See a Liar.
Yeah, because what, you just want to have an extra banger in there?
Yeah, because I think it has its place. I think it has its place in that context.
Got you. Perfect. All right, well, look, I think we've picked enough of the bones of I Can See a Liar, unless he's got any other pearls of wisdom about it.
I'm just greatly resentful that in the entire canon of the Oasis A to Z, I come in during I Can See a Liar. I've got so much to say about Force of Nature, All Around the World, and everything that's gone before. So, but I think we have covered everything there is to say on I Can See a Liar.
Yeah, perfect. All right.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, there we go. That will do it for today. Thank you very much to Laurie Wright and to John Kay. As I say, come back next time for more from Laurie Wright. Great to hear more from him. Plus also, yeah, Secret Drug Addict. Yeah, really, really couple of great interviews coming up. So anyway, thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast. You can support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where the episodes always go up early. Plus, we post a bonus episode sometimes, and you can become a part of the Discord. Go and head over to, you know, if you are a patron or you become one, just drop me a message. I'll ping you a link to the Discord where you can be involved in all the sort of chat and the back and forth that we have over there with some familiar faces that if you've listened to the pod, you'll recognize. But yeah. Thank you very much for listening. Drop us an email, oasispod@gmail.com. The next track coming up, like I said, with Laurie is I Hope I Think I Know. So if you want to submit any thoughts on that, then do feel free to get in touch and ping that over. Give us a follow on Twitter at Oasis Podcast. Instagram is Oasis Pod. And yeah, I think that'll do it. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Now just let me out.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.